السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. وی کنٹینیوئنگ ود دا بایوگرافی آف سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. سو اندر تھنگ دیٹ سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ ورکڈ آن واز ٹرانسلیشن ان دا پروونسز اینڈ آلسو دا ورکنگ آورز آف دا گورنرز. So translation was considered as a means of helping the governors at the time of the Khulafa-e Rashideen. And there was a real need for it in many cases. Umar radiallahu anhu asked his governors in Iraq to send to Madina Munawwara some of the Persian chiefs so that he could discuss with regards to certain taxes that the kuffar have to pay, land taxes, etc. He could discuss this with them. So they sent to him some chiefs and they also sent a translator along. Right? It is stated that Sayyiduna Mughira bin Shu'ba radiallahu anhu knew a little bit of the Persian language and he translated for Umar radiallahu anhu and Hurmuzan in Madina Munawwara. Knowledge of translation is an eminent skill that was well known in the Islamic State generally at the time of the Khulafa-e Rashideen and even before that. Right? Now today's times we see this happening in the courts of law. When there's a court case and a person doesn't understand the language, then they bring in a translator for him. And we think like, hey, look at these people, how considerate, they're bringing in translators and all of that. Then also in the world of technology, right, there's certain programs whereby I could record some text in Urdu or Arabic or Afrikaans or whatever language, and that particular program or app will translate it for me in another language. For example, if I'm visiting Vietnam, right? Now, I don't know the Vietnamese language, but I want to ask this person for a glass of water, for example. So I can go to that app and I can say in that app, please, can I have a glass of water? And the app will then teach me the words to say it in the Vietnamese language. So this is all translation, right? It's translation. If that person is talking to me in Vietnamese, I can record him on that app and then say translate in English, and then it will translate it to me in English, right? Now we think like, hey, look at these people, look at their technology and look at how thoughtful, etc. But in reality, this came from the Islamic world. It was the Khulafa-e Rashideen who established this, to have translators, etc. Right? Then when it came to the working hours of the governors, there was no precise system of the working hours during the era of Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen. So the Khalifa and his governors worked at all hours. Right? They did not have doorkeepers. At any time, if there was a need of the Ummah, they were ready to serve. There was no such thing that, no, we work at 8 to 5 and we need a tea break at 10 and a lunch break at 1. You know, nothing like that. Whenever there was a need, they worked. Because they were working for Allah's pleasure. They were working for the akhirat. They were not working for the dunya. Some of them used to even patrol at night. And forget the governors. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to do it himself. At night when everybody is gone to rest, everybody is gone to sleep, Umar radiallahu anhu used to patrol the streets of Madina Munawwara, making sure everybody is safe. If anybody has got a need, he can see to it, right? And where did he learn this from? He learned this from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One night, there was, now must remember, in Madina Munawara, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they are always fearing an attack. Because the Kuffar are always plotting now, they want to attack Madina Munawara, right? So one night, there is a loud sound, you know, like a fright, you know, frightening sound. So they don't know now where the sound came from, what is the situation. So Sahaba, some of them woke up, they came outside, they started grouping, right? So, you know, put a jamaat together and let them ride out in the direction of the sound, go and investigate the matter, right? So now they're getting ready, maybe saddling their horses or whatever, getting their weapons ready, etc. Next thing, in the distance, they see a rider coming. The rider is riding towards them. Now they think, who is this now? As the rider is coming closer, they realize it's Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came close and he is riding a horse bareback. No saddle, nothing. He's riding the horse bareback. And must remember, this is in Madina Munawara. By the time Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madina Munawara, he was 53 years of age. So this is any time between 53 years of age and 63 years of age. Right? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have been about 54, 55, 56, that age. And he's riding this horse, full speed, bareback. Right? And this horse belonged to a particular Sahabi, and it was known to be like a very, like a hard horse to ride, you know. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached them, so he put their fears at bay and he said that, no, nothing to worry about. You can all go back home to rest. I finished, go and check it out. Nothing to worry about. And then he told that Sahabi, he praised the horse, said, hey, I found this horse. I can't remember the exact words, whether he said, I found it to be like the wind, or found it to be like the ocean. You know, in other words, it rode very well. So, by the time they came out, they were still making preparations to go and check. Nabi Sasram had already gone, and he already returned. Right? So that means Nabi Sasram was awake. He was checking. Right? So Umar radiallahu anhu used to also do this. Used to patrol the streets. The people would meet the governor at various times, asking him to deal with their affairs, and they did not find anyone who would prevent them from entering to meet the governor on the grounds that this was not the time for work. Any time was working time. Any time was working time. Never would they... Would there be a guard at the governor's door saying, no, he's not available right now, due to it being work? Yeah, maybe he's not available because he's not well. Maybe he's not available because he's involved with handling somebody else's work at that time. For those reasons, yeah, maybe he's not available. But not available because he's busy sleeping and now is not the time to come. That never happened. Any time you went there, the governor would see to your needs. Right? The governors were well known for their eagerness to finish a task straight away. Right? They wouldn't say, look at the watch and say, no, you know what, chahiye de manje. You know, his time is up now and I'll see about it tomorrow. No. If a task came, they would stay up till late also and make sure that that person's problem is solved or that person's need is taken care of or whatever the situation may have been. Right? Umar radiallahu anhu wrote to Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu with regards to this. He said to him, do not put today's work off until tomorrow. Lest work accumulates and you will achieve nothing. In English, they say, make hay while the sun shines. You know? In other words, while you got the time now, do it. You've got the health now, do it. Don't leave things for tomorrow and let them accumulate, and then nothing gets done. Understand? Jee. We move on to another section, and this is with regards to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu checking on his governors. Right? So one was Umar radiallahu anhu used to select the best. He would look for the best person who can be a governor in that area. And we discussed all the different qualities, etc., that Umar radiallahu anhu would look for before he, chooses a governor, right? Besides that, he would keep a check. He didn't just choose the best and then just leave them. No, he would choose the best and then he would keep a check that a person must not drift away. He mustn't start doing something in a wrong manner, etc. His famous slogan was, "It is better for me to dismiss a governor every day than to leave a wrongdoer in place for even 1 minute. I rather dismiss every day. If I have to dismiss, put another governor, dismiss, put another governor. I rather do that than leaving a person in charge who is a wrongdoer, leaving him even for 1 minute. And he said, any governor of mine who wrongs anyone, and I hear of his wrongdoing, if I do not change him, then I have wronged him. Because it shows that he doesn't have the capability of doing the job. I'm leaving him there to do the job, so I'm leaving him for his gunas to increase. He's doing wrong, and I'm leaving him there. One day, he said to those who were there with him, what do you think if I were to make over to you the best one I could find, then I order him to be just? Would I have done what is required of me? So they said, yes. I mean, you chose the right person. You gave him the instructions that, see, do your work properly, be just, etc. So you have done your duty. Umar radiallahu anhu said, no. Not until I see what he does and whether he will do what I have ordered him to do or not. In other words, just giving him the instruction to do it in the correct manner, that much is not sufficient. I have to keep a constant check and see whether he is doing it in the right manner. So Umar radiallahu anhu was very strict in checking on his governors. His method of administration was to give his governors free rein in local affairs. They must make the decisions. Obviously, he gave them the guidelines, right? But they must make the decisions. To limit them with regards to public affairs. And then to watch and see how they dealt with things. He would keep an eye. He had a secret service, like how governments nowadays, they have a secret service. So he had a secret service that watched the governors and the people, keeping an eye, keeping his finger on the pulse. Is everything going accordingly? Now in South Africa, we have the hawks, and I think they'll run out of, first they had the scorpions, then the scorpions got corrupted, then they got the hawks. I don't know whether the hawks are already corrupted. Maybe next they'll come with the falcons, the eagles, and the vultures, and everything, right? But as long as there's no strong iman, honesty, amanatdari, there'll always be problems. Historical sources describe something like the modern day intelligence services that existed at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, and that he knew as much about those agents who were far away from him as those who slept with him in the same room. There was no region or area in which there was a governor or army commander except that there were eyes also watching the governor. And the words uttered in the east and the west reached Umar radiallahu anhu every morning and evening. You can see that in the letters that he wrote to his governors and agents, some agents would accuse the closest people to them of spying for Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu had numerous means of checking on his governors. Right? Different ways he would check on his governors. One was, Umar radiallahu anhu used to ask his governors when they came to Madina Munawara that they must enter Madina Munawara during the day, not at night, so that the wealth and booty that they brought could be seen, and so that it would be easy to ask them questions and bring them to account. Then he used to instruct the governors to send delegations from the local people, so he can ask the local people, is any zulam being made on y'all? Is my governor treating y'all well? So that was another way that he used to check. Then also by mail service. Today's time we got emails and all that. But in those days they never have emails, right? But Umar radiallahu anhu sent mail to the governors in various regions. When the mail carrier wanted to return to Madina Munawara, he would give orders that the call be given to the people asking whether anyone wanted to send a letter to the Khalifa. So you had an open route to the Khalifa. It wasn't that you couldn't access the Khalifa. It's like us today, we can't access the government. We can't access the president. But the people in that time, they could write a letter personally to Umar radiallahu anhu directly. The mail carrier would carry it back without any interference from the local governor. The local governor couldn't stop him. The mail carrier himself did not know anything about the letters or their contents. Thus, the people had free rein to send complaints of wrongdoings to Umar radiallahu anhu himself without the governor or his men knowing anything about it. When the mail carrier went to Umar radiallahu anhu, he would give the letters he had to Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu would read them and he would think over them. Right? Then also he had the general inspector. Muhammad bin Maslama al-Ansari was made by Umar radiallahu anhu to check on the governors and to examine any complaints that came against him. So the role of Muhammad bin Maslama was that of a general inspector during the Khilafat. Right? So different things Umar radiallahu anhu put into place. Then also the Hajj season. In the Hajj now, people would come from all different areas. And Umar radiallahu anhu would be there. And he would make himself accessible to the people. Right? Not like today's time, the senior people, they're not accessible to the masses. Umar radiallahu anhu used to make himself accessible. Any person could come to him, complain or ask him anything, etc. So these were the different. And then he also had an archive, right, of records. Different complaints came, different people came with this or that. He had an archive for it. It wasn't that people just came and then you just forgot about it. No, he had an archive, he had a box or a chest in which he kept every treaty that had been drawn up between him and others. Any letter that was written, anything of importance, documents, etc., was kept there. So they can refer to them whenever they need and there's no confusion in any matter. Sometimes you have entered into an agreement with somebody, we can't remember all the points in that agreement. So whenever you need to, you can take out the document. So this archives and having files and all these things, we think the kuffar taught it to us. No. This is something that came from the khulafa, something that came from our khalifs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. We'll stop there and we'll continue again inshallah. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand and to make amal.